doing well with this, but let's do it one more time. God is good.
All the time.
God is good. You know, we train ourselves to say and respond to certain things, don't we? We have a culture at church. We have church ease, so to speak, because we know all the things that we're supposed to say when somebody else says something. You imagine if you were not in on that and you're a visitor or new to church, and just because the pastor said God is good, everybody responds in unison at the same time. We just have a culture and kind of a language all of our own. And sometimes those things we say can lose its power and meaning because it's knee-jerk and it just comes out immediately. God is good.
All the time.
I want to circle back and take that little phrase. It's fun and it's cute. And there's truth there, but I want us to take a step back and let's dissect that a little bit. I don't know how you think about it, but I want to share with you how I think about that phrase. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. The same thing is said twice, right? But said differently. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. The same words are said, but in two different ways. And I want to just share with you how I see that. And maybe it'll change and give you a different perspective because I think there's something for us to lean into. And it's not just, okay, the pastor just said it, so now I have to respond. Every time I say it and you respond, maybe you will think about these words a little differently. And they'll have more meaning to you. That first part of the phrase, God is good all the time, is just truth, isn't it? It's just truth. That's who God is. It is a statement of truth. It's fact. It is who God is. God is a holy, holy, holy God, and He is good. That is who He is. So that first part of that is just a statement of fact. And as the church, this is one of the anchors of our faith. This is what we believe, that God is eternally good. That's who He is. God is good all the time. There isn't a day that He's not good because He can't not be good. That's His essence. It's His nature. It's who He is. So, of course, all the time, God is good. So it's a proclamation. It's an act of worship, really, to just say to God, God, You are good all the time. There's not a moment that You're not good. But the second part of that phrase, all the time, God is good. I want us to switch gears and have a paradigm shift. And instead of a proclamation to heaven of who God is, what if we changed our thinking about this simple little phrase and made it something a little different? What if we made it from our perspective? In other words, God is good all the time because that's who He is. Are we, though, able to say, all the times and situations and circumstances of our life, do we perceive that He really is good? Oh, it's truth. God is good all the time, but can I really say, can my soul really say, but what about all the times in my life? Do I see God this way? God is good all the time, but all the times of my life, do I see Him that way? Is He really good? My heart and my soul. You think about the people in Florida and South Carolina on this morning. Do you think most of them are walking around praising the Lord because they are experiencing the greatest tragedy and sorrow that they have ever had in their life? And in those moments that we are walking through the greatest storms of our life, do you think we are as able to say God is good during those moments than when everything is right? If we're honest, if we're being transparent, I bet the answer is, well, it just doesn't feel so good right now. Has your life ever fallen apart, felt broken, sideways, sorrow, tragedy, loss, uncertainty, doubt, frustration, disruption, dysfunction? All of those things we experience. Are we just as able to say God is good during those times as we're able to say when everything in our life is right. So when I say God is good all the time, that's fact. But can I say all the time, all the times, all the circumstances, all the situations in my life, does my heart resonate with joy? Can I really proclaim that God is good? Because what I'm going through right now is awful. The answer, the transparent answer is, it's harder to proclaim God's goodness when things are hard. But that doesn't mean that that's not where we should be. That doesn't mean that that's not where we should go. Because as believers in Jesus Christ, this is the direction. This is the destination that we need to arrive at. We need to arrive at a place in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ that no matter what is going on in our life, God is good. Our life has fallen apart. God is good. I still have a smile on my face. I still have this internal and eternal joy because I have put my hope and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is good no matter what is happening. It does not change my perspective. And this is where we need to be as believers. That no matter what happens in life, we can say with joy in our heart, God is good. Now, how do we get there? There is one simple word that I'm going to give you today that is kind of the key to all of this. It's one word, and the prophet Jeremiah is going to help us get there, but it's kind of the secret sauce. Luke, it's the secret sauce. It is the key to this. How do I arrive at a place? How do I arrive at a place where no matter what's going on in my life, I can say all the time, even in that time, God is good. God is good. It's not easy. It seems counterintuitive because a lot of times our countenance is determined upon happenstance. Our happiness is determined by our happenstance, but our joy should be determined in our relationship and closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do I get there? The prophet Jeremiah, 2,600 years ago, roughly, was prophesying in Judah. At this time, Judah was the southern kingdom. The two tribes in the southern kingdom was called Judah, and the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom was called Israel. And this is the time that the kingdom was divided. And this is the time that the 10 northern tribes were conquered by Assyria and never were the same after. And this is the time that the two southern tribes known as Judah were conquered by the Babylonians. And they were taken away into captivity. For more than 7 decades, they would be held as captives. But God maintained a remnant, and one day those refugees, those exiles, would come back and rebuild the city, rebuild the people that God had saved for himself. Could you imagine being the prophet Jeremiah during this time? This was a hard job. And the words that Jeremiah spoke were often just full of woe and sadness. But the people had a divided heart. They had walked away. They had failed to have a closer walk with thee. They walked away from the Lord God. They began to worship other gods, little g's, gods that have no power, that don't even exist. And their heart was divided, and the Lord God removed his hand of favor, and he allowed an entire pagan nation to conquer Judah and to decimate the city and bring the captives back to Babylon. Oh, by the way, little side bar of truth. If you're not cultivating your relationship, if you have a divided heart, if you are following after something else other than the Lord God might just remove his hand of favor. It is his nature. You see, he is a jealous God. He says, you have no other gods before me. I have to be the only one. You cannot have a divided heart. You're either all in or you're out. I am the Lord God. And the entire nation, Judah, had this moment where the Lord removed his hand and they were swept away, taken as captive. And Jeremiah is speaking in chapter 17. He is talking about this very point, the idea that they have a divided heart and they're going to be carried away. That's tough news. Sometimes I feel like when I give a heavy sermon, it's like, whoo, that hurts. That feels bad. Other times when you give a good sermon, it's uplifting. Everybody has a smile on their face. Could you imagine if every Sunday and if every moment, right, it's just woe and destruction? And terrible things are coming from the Lord God. And this is the lot that Jeremiah was given, the role he was given to play. In chapter 17, he is talking. The Lord God is speaking through Jeremiah. And he talks about a man that, two different versions of a man. One is cursed and one is blessed. And the reason why that one is cursed and one is blessed is boiled down to one word only. But he describes the man that is cursed as being a bush that is planted in a wasteland or in a desert. You've heard in Scripture where the Lord has separated the sheep from the goats. By the way, you want to be a sheep because it's bad to be a goat. It's bad. You want to be a sheep. This morning, you don't want to be a bush. It was bad. You don't want to be a bush, a craggy bush in the middle of the desert. Instead, you want to be a tree that's planted by the stream. And Jeremiah is making an analogy of the difference between a cursed man who is like a bush that's planted in the wasteland. Could you imagine a dry, parched wasteland, and you imagine a bush, you, the bush, trying to survive in that, trying to find nourishment and contentment? It would be hard, wouldn't it? But then he says, but blessed is the man who is like a tree that's planted by the stream. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture in a moment. Just compare the two. On the front of your bulletin, you see the image of a tree that's planted by a stream. It looks inviting, doesn't it? It looks soothing. It looks like a place you would want to go. Doesn't it look like a place that you'd want to take a cup of coffee and just experience God's love? We compare that to a wasteland, a salty wasteland that is barren and there's nothing around. And you're the bush trying to survive. So what Jeremiah is doing in this passage is he is describing why it is that the nation is about to be carried away, but also at the same time he is describing the answer, what they could have done. In church, what we should do, what we should do every single day. This is what the prophet Jeremiah says about how to be a blessed man. There's truth here. Starting with verse 7, here's the good news, church, and this is the answer to how we get there. It's found in one word. If we want to arrive at a place where, no matter what is going in our life, we are able to say all those times, even those times, God is good. This is the roadmap. And it's as simple as this. The word is trust. Are we going to trust in ourselves? Are we going to trust in man? Are we going to trust in the world? Or are we going to trust in the Lord God Almighty? Because ultimately, you will choose one or the other to put your hope in, your faith in, and your trust in. You will. Whether you consciously do that or where you stand up and make a proclamation, you will choose ultimately. Cursed is the man who puts his hope and trust in himself. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Now, he is making an analogy between a bush that is planted in a parched wasteland and a tree that is planted in a lush garden, forest area with a stream running right beside it. I want us to extend that because you have a choice. You have the ability to choose whether you're going to be planted in a wasteland or planted by a stream. Where will you plant yourself? The Lord God hasn't planted you in either place. You get to choose where your roots are going to be. You can choose where to lay those roots down. The prophet says it's like a tree that's planted by the water who sends its roots out. And where are the roots going? To the place of nourishment, the place of refreshment, to the stream, also known as the Lord God Almighty. Blessed is the man who decides to put his hope and his faith and his confidence in the Lord, who plants himself in the Lord and sends his roots deep and toward the source of life. Blessed is that man, because here's what happens. Not if, but when the heat comes, that tree's leaves will still be green. They won't be defeated. When hurricanes or death or sorrow come, no matter what it is, when the heat comes, those leaves will remain green because their hope and faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trust in Him. They allow God to be God, and they realize God sees a bigger picture than I do. Therefore, my trust is in Him. I will grow my roots toward Him. So when the heat comes, my leaves will be green. I will still have joy in my heart. I will still be able to say, God is good. All the times of my life, God is good. And also says, and in the year of drought, droughts come. But you know, streams, because they are a constant source of nutrient, nourishment, and life, the last things to dry up. When the year of drought comes, I will still bear fruit. I will still have life. I will still be able to sing praises. My life will matter in the kingdom. I won't be defeated. I won't be one of those that will only celebrate God when things are good. But even when things aren't, even in a year of drought, I will bear fruit because my trust is in the Lord God. My hope is in Him. And He will still use me. Do you think God wants to use a fair-weather Christian? I don't think so. I think God wants to use those that have decided to plant themselves by a stream, by Him, grow their roots deep toward Him. And that way, when problems of life come, I can still use that person because they're going to sing joy and praise to me. Those are the only people that God is going to ever use. The choice is ours. This is how we get there. This is how we arrive at a place that all the times God is good. And we simply do this. We trust in the Lord. We trust in Him more than we trust ourselves. We trust in Him more than we trust our employer. We trust in Him more than we trust even our church. We trust in Him more than our spouse. We trust in Him more than our government. We trust in Him more than any other structure. We trust in Him more than the world. We trust in Him more than anything. And our faith and our confidence is found there. And when we do that and we have enough faith and confidence in Him that He sees the bigger picture, that maybe there are times that we have to take less so others can have more, or that we have to suffer so somebody else can be released from their bondage. Whatever it is, we have to be able to arrive at a point where we trust in the bigger picture that only God can see. Is He not greater than us? He is. But the only way to arrive there is to put your trust in Him and not in anything else. And a good exercise for you to do that this morning. It's one thing to receive a message and say, yeah, pastor, I'm nodding my head because I agree. And then we leave. And on Tuesday, it's like, well, what did the pastor speak about? I don't quite remember. There's something about a tree. But if we were to step into an exercise together, something that we could apply this learning to, things for our hands to do, it just cements the learning. And I think that it might help us take one step toward the trust that Jeremiah is saying is the key to everything. Karen, our kids director, she had this idea, and then she decided to extend it, guess what, to us old people. But the idea is to be able to proclaim to heaven who heaven is. Because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. To be able to proclaim to heaven how God is good. And I'm going to invite you to do the same thing. Out here in the hallway, there is a poster. It's just a banner. It's a big God is good banner. And below the poster are black post-it notes and white markers. And here's what your exercise is going to be. So you have a few moments to think about it. And you do this as many times as you like. You can step on both sides of the aisle here, and we're going to talk about them again, or both. You can think of it this way: God is good all the time, and just make a statement to heaven and describe to God why he's good. God is eternal. Or whatever it is that is resonating in your heart right now, let it be made known. It is an act of worship. Don't just receive the idea that God is eternal and God is good. Proclaim it back to him and just see what he wouldn't do in your own heart. And we get to do that together as a church. We're going to fill this banner full of these post-it notes. You're going to write that and you're going to stick it on that banner. And every week we're going to publish these on the screen so people will be able to see. You can make it anonymous or not. You can sign your name. But if you sign your name, I reserve the right to put your name and your quote on the screen. Beware. Or you can step across the other side of that coin and you can tell heaven a time in your life that you found God to be so good in spite of what was going on. Both of those things should resonate in our hearts as believers. Both of those things are worship to God. So when we dismiss this morning, it might be a little log jam, but give it a moment before you head off to Sunday school or out the building. Give it a moment. Think about it, pray about it, and just proclaim to heaven who God is and what he has done in a time of sorrow. Oh, something will happen in your heart. As Jim and his worship team come to lead us, I'll let your hearts already be pondering this. What do I want heaven to know this morning about how I feel about the goodness of God? He is good. He is good. And I have had it proven to me over and over. And here's the time that it was proven to me because of what he's done in my life. Let heaven know by just sticking a post-it note on a banner on a wall. That's praise. That's worship. Step into that moment, church.